John Seculo, the Hamas chief thanks Iran for the rockets as nuclear talks between the U.S. and Iran continue to progress. We'll talk about that more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are going to take your phone calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And though there is the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas that was brokered by Egypt, pushed by the United States, a lot of pressure on Israel from the United States to enter into that ceasefire, we are still seeing violence. One, violence on the streets here in the United States of Jewish Americans being targeted by pro-Palestinian activists in violent attacks. We've seen two Israelis stabbed in Jerusalem over the weekend, and again, a terrorist killed. That is very much correlates with what we talk about. We talk about that pay-for-slay program that they have in the West Bank through the Palestinian Authority. Those are the kind of attacks that because that terrorist was killed. His family will now receive money from the Palestinian Authority because he attacked two Israelis. They will receive a stipend based on how gruesome the attack was. You also have the head of Hamas going on TV after the head of the ceasefire, thanking the Iranians. He says, "I cannot but thank those who brought forth money and weaponry to the valiant resistance, the Islamic Republic of Iran, who did not hold back with money, weapons, and technical report. Thanks." I mean, so you've got that. And then on top of this, the Iranian president says that in those nuclear negotiations in Vienna, that the Western countries, that would include the United States, have indicated to Iran, he's claiming, that the West has agreed to lift all sanctions on Iran. That includes on oil, petrochemicals, shipping, insurance, and their central bank. And he says, and so on. Now, when asked about this, okay, so our Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, was asked about it directly by George Stephanopoulos. He did not deny it. Take a listen.
The Iranians say the decision to lift some of the sanctions has already been made. Is that true?
We're about to have our, I think, fifth round of discussions in Vienna with the Iranians. And what these discussions and talks, indirect, as you know, have done is they've clarified what each side needs to do in order to come back into compliance. So we know what sanctions would need to be lifted if they're inconsistent with the nuclear agreement. But as important, and indeed more important, Iran, I think, knows what it needs to do to come back into compliance on the nuclear side. And what we haven't yet seen is whether Iran is ready and willing to make a decision to do what it has to do. That's the test, and we don't yet have an answer.
Well, here's the decision that they've made that they have to do, according to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and according to the head of Hamas's military wing. What they've decided to do was give money, ammunition, and weaponry to Hamas. That's what the Iranians do with the money we give them. So when you lift sanctions, you are funding the terrorists. And his statement, the Secretary of State's statement, is benign at best, dangerous at worst, because what it doesn't establish, what it doesn't show, is the fact that the Iranian regime is not going to stop their exporting business, and they are the largest exporter of terrorism. And the naivete of this, Andy, to me is mind-boggling.
Yeah, you would think a Secretary of State of the United States who has had some experience in foreign affairs in the Middle East would know better than to make a statement that is like this. I mean, this statement did not deny the statement that Rouhani made, that we have agreed, the West has agreed to lift the major sanctions. And instead, it's given aid and comfort to the enemy, in my opinion, and certainly aid and comfort to the enemies of Israel. The Iranians have said, and the Israeli and the Gazans and Palestinians have confirmed, that the money to fund their actions has come from Iran. What more do you need to say? So, thanked them for them and said, that's it.
Yeah, so Jordan, that's what they're prepared to do. Let's be realistic. That's what the Iranian regime is prepared to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Hamas and Hezbollah.
Yes, I mean they are ready. They are willing. They are telling the world that they are doing that, and they would love to have more money to do that. More these sanctions being lifted would allow them to do much more and provide more missiles, more rockets, more materials. But they're being thanked directly by Hamas now publicly. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Secular. So you've got this major claim being made by the Iranian president that the West, that would include the United States, after now weeks of these peace talks, months of these nuclear negotiations in Vienna between the U.S. and Iran and other parties in the Western world, Western Europe, the president of Iran is saying that the West has agreed to lift all sanctions on Iran, and the only caveat is that Iran goes back to somehow complying with the deal. That we've got the reports from Europe, and we talked about it with Rick Rinnell before and Mike Pompeo before on this broadcast, that they never, once they figured out and did their research, they never were actually in compliance.
Correct.
With the JCPOA.
Not only were they
not. But they are ready. The United States is ready.
Yes.
And from Tony Blinken's comments, it appears absolutely right that the Iranian president didn't hear it wrong from his team.
No.
That we're ready to let them go back into the deal. Part of that would be, if they go back into the deal, they want all the sanctions lifted.
Unilaterally, they will. Unilaterally lifting the sanctions, yeah, is what they said. They've said we've already, by the way, Rouhani said that the United States has already agreed to it. So here's the question. The very week that these discussions are going on, the head of Hamas's military wing, sends out, Harry, a statement or issues a statement saying, thank you to Iran for providing the military weaponry, the mechanisms, the strategy on dealing with the enemy Israel. We know from Hamas's charter, I know it was discussed last week, they call for the destruction of this Jewish state of Israel. So if we unilaterally lift sanctions, which we're then rewarding them for funding Hamas, which just attacked Israel, and then Biden forces a ceasefire so that Israel can't improve its security position, that's the unfortunate part of this. My question is, where does that policy lead?
Well, it leads to a threat on Israeli security, and Secretary of State Blinken rightly knows this, but he is prepared to sell out Israel, in my opinion, in order to reach another deal with Iran, despite the fact that that deal, if it's ever written on paper, will already be a failure. And so here you have Secretary of State Blinken suggesting that we must address the immediate situation, the immediate humanitarian situation. That is exactly backwards. The immediate situation, the immediate risk is to Israeli security. So why are we helping to fund rockets that are flying into Israel? That is the central question I doubt seriously he has the capability of answering it.
We've got Skip Asher on the phone, who's a senior counsel for the ACLJ in charge of our international law of war conflict issues. That Skip is an expert on. He's trained in this, served in the United States military, retired lieutenant colonel. Skip, what's your assessment of where this is right now?
Well, I think Harry's exactly right. I think right now the Biden administration is projecting weakness across every boundary to every nation. All of our opponents are seeing weakness. If we cannot support our strongest ally in the Middle East, if we allow our money to go to Iran to buy missiles to send to Hamas to attack our own ally, we are showing that we have a feckless foreign policy, and this is going to encourage not only the Palestinians, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others to come against Israel, in my view. It also is going to encourage the Iranians to challenge us more in the Persian Gulf. It's going to encourage the North Koreans to rattle their sabers more frequently, and it's going to encourage Russia and China to give us opportunities to fail in their region. So it's they're going to provide so many issues that this administration will be overwhelmed and unable to respond, and they and their causes will then be more successful.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a situation here now. I mean, I want to play it for people so they can hear. Then, but to have Hamas talking about and going publicly praising Iran for their support, both with money, weapons, technical support. You'll hear it in Arabic. Then we'll jump in. But this is on television after the ceasefire. They're not hiding anymore. This is not allegations that Iran is supporting Hamas. This is the head of Hamas going on TV saying, thank you, Iran. So jump in. Here's the translation. The translation is, I cannot but thank those who brought forth money and weaponry to the valiant resistance, the Islamic Republic of Iran, who did not hold back with money, weapons, and technical support. Thanks.
So you begs the question.
I mean, that is a very...
Under the previous administration, under President Trump, we had them, they were crippled economically. There were no rockets flying into Israel. The Hamas had no money. Hezbollah had no money. They were trying to go to Turkey for safe haven, Hamas was. In fact, they have gone to Turkey for safe haven, Hamas, because they were being run out of the region, the leadership. Now you have a situation where even when pressed... Even when they are saying a statement like we just heard in Arabic, and I cannot but thank those who brought forth money and weaponry to the valiant resistance, the Biden administration is willing to continue now round five of these negotiations, Andy. And in the Middle East, if you don't show power, you are showing weakness, as Skip said.
Well, that's one of the fundamental aspects that history teaches us, that in the Middle East, among the Arab nations, you've got to show power and force, or you show weakness. And you cannot negotiate from a position of fecklessness and weakness. When you deal with the Iranians, when you deal with those in Gaza and the Palestinians, you've got to be strong. When you've got the leader saying, thank you very much, Iran, for giving us all these weapons and making us able to bomb Israel and to make these strikes, and then the United States Secretary of State on Stephanopoulos not denying, he never denied what Rouhani said, Jay. He never denied that all sanctions on oil, petrochemicals, shipping, insurance, and the central bank have been lifted. He double-talked instead. He said, oh, we've looked and we've worked in the past, and we want to do this and that, and the fact of the matter is Hamas has brought nothing to ruin to the Palestinian people. Well, of course that's the case. Why are you sitting down in Vienna talking to them and discussing these things? Why don't you deny the statement that Rouhani made and say, no, we have not lifted sanctions, and no, we are not going to. They won't say that. They won't do that. They won't make that statement.
Well, they won't do that, Skip, because their existence is to get rid of Israel. I mean, let's be clear. We did a whole series of paper at Oxford, University of Oxford, on that. Their whole existence, their reason for being, is to get rid of Israel.
Absolutely. The Iranians are fixated on Israel, but in Islamic theology, whether you're Shia or Sunni, you want to win back territory that had once been under Islamic control. So I think all the nations generally religiously have that. It's just that the Shia right now are so fanatical about this, and they have the size of the population, the size of the economy, and if we give in and give them billions of dollars again like we did under the Obama administration, then we give them every means to make life in Israel impossible. And we need to intervene. This administration needs to stand up, have some backbone, and do the right thing.
Yeah, but to me, Harry, it seems like very quickly here that this administration has decided one thing. They want to deal with the Iranians no matter what the outcome is.
Absolutely. So Iran is a sworn enemy of Israel. Hamas is a sworn enemy of Israel. Hezbollah is a sworn enemy of Israel. And so what is the American policy? The American policy is to reward sworn enemies of Israel. So essentially what we have, beyond question, is willful blindness by the Biden administration. So in the face of terror, it proves once again that the Biden administration believes that you cannot support individuals or countries that believe in democracy. And it also proves, beyond question, that you cannot grow a backbone in a petri dish that is filled with spinelessness. And that is precisely the summary of the Biden administration so far.
And yet the pressure to get a ceasefire, the violence in our own streets in America, I mean,
aimed at Jews,
and because of Israel, whether or not, no one's stopping to ask those individuals who are being targeted their political positions on the state of Israel, whether they agree with who's in charge in Israel and who the Israelis decided to elect. They're Americans. They're Americans being targeted by other Americans because they happen to be Jewish. And these pro-Palestinian activists who are taking the streets. So, you know, people like AOC, they try to say, oh, well, that's horrible, and they condemn the attacks on Jews, but they also are condemning Israel. Why do you think those attacks are happening?
On an apartheid state.
Because of you. You're responsible. The rhetoric that comes from Rashida Tlaib and AOC and the squad, and that the Democrats are permitting, is the rhetoric that's fueling the violence against Jews in the streets. We're not talking about in Jerusalem. We're talking about in New York, in L.A. By the way, blue states. Not seeing a lot of this violence in red states.
No.
Blue states. The most liberal states is where, again, you see racism popping up yet again, as we've seen throughout this pandemic, and now it's being targeted at Jews. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. When we come back on Seculo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Secular, we are going to take your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And you see, and I want to play this for Fareed Zakaria because, again, on CNN, not pro-Israel, in the same, you know, statement he was that we're going to play from, he was not very pro-Israel, but he was honest about who Israel is dealing with when dealing with the Palestinians, both in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip. Take a listen. Because I think it tells a lot about, for all these academics out there, for all these anti-Israel Americans, for all these that are spurring on this group, they should listen to this liberal, not pro-Israel, CNN academic. Take a listen.
Palestinians are politically weak and divided. They're led in Gaza by Hamas, a group despised even by Arab states like Egypt and Saudi Arabia. In the West Bank, the 85-year-old Mahmoud Abbas runs an administration widely considered corrupt and dysfunctional. He has postponed elections for 11 years. In short, Israel doesn't have any practical reasons to make a deal with the Palestinians.
I mean, because there is no one to make a deal with. And that's coming from Fareed Zakaria, not a radical pro-Israel supporter.
Yeah, so Skip, what would be the possible, why would they make it, why would Israel make a deal with the Palestinian Authority, with Hamas in control of Gaza? You wouldn't.
Yeah, they can't. Because there's no one there who has the authority or the will to make an agreement that will stick. The Palestinians, every time they get into negotiations, they push and push and push, and they never make any concessions at all along the way. So their idea, if you still look at the Palestinian symbol on top of their embassy in the UN, for instance, it shows Palestine being the entirety of that portion of Palestine west of the Jordan River. So Israel's completely gone. They still had that idea from the river to the sea is Palestine, and they're just trying to figure out how to attain that. So Israel has nobody with whom they can negotiate.
You know, we have actually appeared at the UN multiple times, actually, on these issues, but I addressed a General Assembly meeting on the whole boycott, divest, and sanction movement and the anti-Semitism that now we're seeing on the streets of New York City and other cities around the country. And the fact is, there is no, I want to be very clear on this. We have been there. We have an office in Jerusalem. Andy has walked down the streets. I have walked down the streets. Jordan's walked down the streets. They are chanting, destroy Israel. The blood of the Jews will run in the street. This is coming out of students in elementary school.
Yeah, I mean, this is the scary thing is we're walking in the old city of Jerusalem, and I see a bunch of little five-year-old kids holding hand in hand, walking, chanting something in Arabic, and they're walking down and they're chanting it and repeating it with their teacher. And I asked our guide, what are they saying? With spirit and with blood, he said, we shall take back Palestine. Now, when you imbue a five-year-old with this kind of mentality, how do you ever expect that child, when it grows up, to have a balanced view of the world and to sit down with Israel and to talk about some sort of a solution to the age-old problem? The answer is you don't.
What is the political reason that Biden is insisting on? Is this some kind? How does he think a nuclear deal with Iran is a win?
Yeah, well, because it brings back the nuclear deal. He's bringing back what Obama, the Obama legacy, part of his legacy, and he's brought in all those staffers who were at the mid-level, but not the most senior levels, to come in and finish this once again and try to put us back into this deal. So part of its legacy, part of it is how they see the world. They think you can make a deal with Iran. They think that you can make a deal with Iran and that Iran is not going to use this newfound wealth to continue to fund Hamas as they're being thanked on TV for it. But it's also because they are very tone deaf. I think the bureaucrats of the State Department are some of the worst people in the world. We've dealt with them before.
They're tough to help.
And, you know, people like Mike Pompeo came in as Secretary of State. They only could do so much. You can't just fire everybody.
Right.
You can't just get rid of all these bureaucrats. They try to undermine a lot of things that are good for America, and they are stuck on old policy that they read about in history books in from the U.S., and they don't want to think new, and they're very anti-Israel.
Yes.
I'll say this, our state, I bet in, of all the U.S. agencies, the most anti-Israel agency, and I'm talking anti-Israel, like they would like to see it wiped off the face of the map, or at least a one-state solution.
Yes.
So there is no Jewish state of Israel. Right. Is the State Department.
So, Harry, you think about it, and you say to yourself, Fareed Zakaria was right. Why would Israel negotiate with Hamas? What would be the purpose? But yet the Biden administration, following up what Jordan said, is saying, we got to engage them. We got to get them back to the table. They're dying to get them back to the table.
Well, I think the Biden administration, particularly when it comes to the Middle East, and this is probably true with respect to many other areas as well, the Biden administration is lost. They're unprincipled. They lack direction. They are directed, at least in part, by globalists. Globalists who hate Israel, I think, as Jordan correctly points out. But the Biden administration continues to miss the plot. So the question becomes, why would Israel deal with these despots, really,
right,
in the Middle East? And number two, why do we have these outbreaks of violence in the Middle East? Well, I think for two reasons. First, because by fighting Israel, by sending rockets into Israel, this keeps the despots, the dictators, in power. And then number two, occasional violence has another benefit. It detracts or distracts the Palestinian people from their real enemy. And their real enemy is indeed their own leaders.
So, Skip, on the issue of Israel's security with Gaza, I mean, what can be done here? Because how do you prevent the money? We're going to talk about this in the second half hour, how money from the UN was used not to rebuild buildings and schools and hospitals, but to build tunnels to sneak in Hamas terrorists into Israel. So how do you deal with them?
Well, that's a great question. And the problem is, until somehow the Palestinians see that their leaders, the Hamas leaders, are not acting in their best interests and rise up against them, there's really no way. Because even people go in there, even NGOs and others who go in there to act in a way to help the population, they get co-opted because they are intimidated by Hamas and its militants. They come up, if they want something, they take it. And the people know, the NGOs know, that if they say anything about it, they're going to be tossed out, if not worse, and therefore they have to live with this. And therefore, Hamas just gets what it wants. You bring in stuff to rebuild buildings, Hamas diverts it for tunnels or whatever their own purposes are, and you really have no say against it because the Hamas will take action against you up to and including taking your life.
And if you want to, when we come back for the break, too, I mean, we'll talk about how this Hamas influenced, what this last round of attacks, and when you have this forced ceasefire and Israel, what does it mean for Hamas? And you would think that after their buildings are destroyed, a lot more casualties on their side, infrastructure destroyed, you would think people would say, okay, enough of these guys, right? Wrong, because you're thinking from your American mindset. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll start taking your phone calls when we come back as well. For those of you who are holding on, our lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo in just a minute. As always, we want you to check out ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Saculo Live. And now, your host, Jordan Saculo.
Right, welcome back to Saculo. So we've talked about this, Hamas going out right on TV, the head of Hamas saying, thank you, Iran. The Iranian president saying the West has agreed to lift all sanctions on Iran. That's what they're claiming. And then when our Secretary of State was asked about it, as we played for you on the broadcast, and when they were asked about it, they said, well, yeah, if Iran's ready to go back in the deal, which, by the way, the Europeans have indicated to us they never were in compliance with the entire time when we were in it and we were out of it. But if they go back into whatever compliance means with that 2 pages of bullet points, what a joke. I mean, literally, what a joke when you look at what that JCPOA was. You would think they would be ashamed of that work product. These highly educated people that you know Biden brings back from the Obama administration, you think they'd be ashamed, but they're proud of it. I want you to listen to this, Richard Engel from NBC News. What is Hamas feeling right now in the Gaza Strip after being after seeing infrastructure destroyed, their tunnels destroyed, their missiles depleted? But they know that their ally Iran is about to probably get an influx of cash. So take a listen to this.
Hamas is seeing a wave of popularity after this latest round of violence, presenting itself as the sole defenders of the Palestinian people, the only ones willing and able to stand up to Israel.
Now, here's what's interesting about this, is that we know that what Hamas has seen is a lack of support now from the rest of the Muslim world.
Yes, and
so
that's
they're
big.
Having to go to the Shia world to get to support, even though they are Sunni by nature. And so they have been cut off by most of the rest of the Muslim world.
Yes,
as impossible to work with, correct. Impossible to deal with. But for Iran, they are another Hezbollah.
No, you're exactly correct. And what has happened here, and I think it's pretty significant. If you see what's happening, the fact of the matter is the Iranians, by funding Hamas, have been the only lifeline for Hamas because they have really, Andy, in the region, been very isolated.
Yes, who likes them? Nobody. I mean, no one likes them. And one other thing I was thinking, if you're Israel and you're trying to work out with a peace deal, who do you go to? You can't go to Hezbollah. You cannot go to Hamas. They're trying to kill you. Iran wants you wiped off the map, okay? That's not going to work. You're not going to go any more to the United States because the United States is petulant about whether they're going to support you or not. The United States is sitting in Vienna agreeing to lift sanctions, which the Trump administration imposed, so that they can give them billions and billions and billions of dollars more of money, which the Iranians can then turn around and give to the Hamas people, to the Hamas faction, so that they can bomb Israel. So when you say that Benjamin Netanyahu and the Palestinians, you can't go to and negotiate with Abbas, he's corrupt, for God's sake,
right.
And has been since he's been in power and will be until the day he dies, who do you go to? You go nowhere. You're landlocked. You're blocked at every gate. You're blocked at every way. There's no hope for you.
Yeah, so Mike Pompeo just tweeted at our senior counsel that sanction relief is the equivalent of sending pallets of cash and giving Iran billions of dollars will only embolden more terrorism. This didn't work in 2015, and it won't work now. And Skip, with only a minute to go before the break, the fact of the matter is, emboldening them with cash is a dangerous move for the region.
Absolutely. You know, the Sunni part of the region is afraid of Iran because Iran wants to be a hegemonic power in that region. It wants to dominate the entire region. So that was why the Abraham Accords were working so well, because the Sunni kingdoms and everybody else was getting together and saying, okay, we have a common enemy, and it's not Israel. That enemy is Iran, and now we're about to refund Iran.
I mean, the idea of giving Iran, Jordan, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, billions of dollars just to get them to the table. It's outrageous.
Into a deal that is not a real treaty. No. It does not allow our inspectors to go into the sites that you actually would need to inspect, like those linked to their military.
The inspection rights end, I think, Thursday of this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. And Iran knows it's an easy deal for them to manipulate, and they need the money so that they can continue to fund their activities, like their support of Hamas, which they are not backing away from. They can go into a deal, and they are funding another terrorist group openly and publicly, and they're going to get a deal with the U.S. and a sanctions lift. And you tell me that elections don't have consequences. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. I want to get to those right off the bat. Pat in Ohio, online one. Hey, Pat, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Oh, thanks. I'm frustrated in listening to this program and feeling helpless. What do you do with a middle-aged, maybe older, suburban person who hears this, and my heart breaks that we are funding something like this, and I can do nothing. I know that the tax on the Jewish people are in New York were going on a regular basis, and the New York Times where the largest population of Jewish people in the country reside made no mention of it within their paper. How can this continue?
Well, that's why we come to you each and every day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. That's why we have a very large social media presence. That's why we publish papers at aclj.org and post those on our various social media sites. That's why we have an office in Washington, D.C. and in Jerusalem. That's why we're active at the United Nations, UN, so we can be your voice there. We have a petition at the ACLJ right now in behalf of Israel that says stop funding Israel's enemies. Over 125,000 people have signed on to that petition. So it's not what you can do as an individual. It's collectively we can actually do a lot. And are we going to be able to stop this? Well, the question is going to be, I'll throw this to Jordan, are there going to be any Democrats that say, you know what, this is not the right way to go?
Any that have power,
like
I don't.
Chuck Schumer, you would think Jewish from New York. You would think he would
get. He's scared. He's going to lose to AOC. That she could run against him, primary him, and end his career. Even though it's about time for his career to be over. Let's be honest. They don't. These politicians. It seems like they just stay and stay and stay forever. And the way he doesn't want to end his career is being beaten by a 30-year-old who in his home state because he wasn't liberal enough.
Right.
And so they're silent.
So Dove Hinken, who is a former Democrat, New York assemblyman, said this on Fox News just the other day.
We still don't hear from the one and only Chuck Schumer, the protector of the Jewish people. The only thing Chuck Schumer cares about right now is not having a race from AOC. That's all he cares about. He doesn't give a darn about anything else. He doesn't give a darn about the Jewish community. This is New York, over a million Jews, and it is pathetic. It is embarrassing to see the silence.
So I guess the question you have to ask yourself now, and I'm going to kind of go, I'll start with Andy, go to Harry, and let's skip comment as well, following up what Jordan said, is the Democratic Party incapable of defending Israel and saying, you know what, we're going to say no to Hamas and no to Iran? Are they incapable of doing that?
Yes, they are incapable of doing it. We need to admit it, and we need to say it, and we need to proclaim it. The Democratic Party is interested in grabbing power, aggrandizing themselves, and perpetuating themselves in office. That's all that they're interested in doing. They truly, as this a former assemblyman said, don't give a darn about Israel. And not only Chuck Schumer, who's an American Jew and who should be, but Bernie Sanders, the same thing, is against Israel. And they're being pulled in the direction of Sandy Cortez and Talaib and Omar and these people who are the Hamas caucus, as we have called them. So there is a Hamas caucus within the Congress of the United States. And this is absolutely reprehensible and untenable, Jay.
Harry?
I think Andy is precisely correct. The Democratic Party has abandoned all commitment to principle. They are solely focused on grabbing power by any means necessary. And I would go one step further. In some cases, they seem intent on grabbing power, whether it's either through illegal or less than legal means. And I think that is really sad for the future of the country, because that deprives the country of the possibility of having an honest debate over a raft of issues. And I also would say that with respect to Jews in America, they are no longer considered a politically correct minority. Mm. So no longer will social justice types defend Jews in America. They might defend Asians. They might defend members of other minority groups. But Jews are disfavored in part because there's something that is huge in the human heart. It's permanent in the human heart, and it's called resentment. Resentment over the success of American Jews.
You know, Skip, we have been, you and I have been to Israel many, many times. You have trained there on national security issues. We have lectured throughout Israel. But the fact of the matter is, I don't see any advantage for the United States. Let's put Israel aside for a moment. What is the advantage of the United States in cutting a deal with the Iranian regime here?
None that I can see, other than somebody in the Democratic Party claiming that this is part of their legacy. You know, it seems to me the Democratic Party has lost its moral compass. It's incapable right now of distinguishing between those who are victims and those who are not victims. And right now it has declared the Palestinians, for instance, to be victims and the Israelis to be the victimizers, when it's just the reverse. And until they can figure out what's right and wrong, until they can figure out black and white and figure out how to do that, and I think they're in a problem. And I think this whole push up for equity within their party just plays right into this.
All right, folks, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, I think just listening to this, too, this idea that you could get money into Gaza without it going to Hamas. This is our Secretary of State, again, with George Stephanopoulos, Byte 8.
President said he wants to do that without restocking Hamas, rebuilding Gaza without restocking Hamas. How do you do that? They're in charge in Gaza.
Look, we've worked in the past, and we can continue to work with trusted, independent parties that can help do the reconstruction and development, not some quasi-governmental authority. And the fact of the matter is, Hamas has brought nothing but ruin to the Palestinian people. It's gross mismanagement of Gaza while it's been in charge, and of course, these indiscriminate rocket attacks on Israeli civilians, which have elicited the response that they did, because Israel has a right to defend itself.
Trusted third parties like the United Nations Refugee Group, UNRWA. Remember them? Well, they brought in a lot of money, and they brought in cement to rebuild hospitals and bridges, to rebuild housing, and to rebuild schools. Except you know where those bags of cement went? And here's a picture for our television audience. There it is, right there. Let's put it up right now. That's to build a terror tunnel. That is UNRWA. It says it right there. UN. Cement to build tunnels of terror. And Skip, what do those tunnels do?
Those tunnels allow Hamas forces to move around without being able to be seen by the Israelis, so they cannot be attacked. So they allow forces to move all around the area. There are, I think, almost 100 miles of tunnels, and they can move wherever they need to go, and then they can pop up at different places where they're not expected. And because of that, it makes it very difficult for the Israelis to go in on the ground. That's why, I'll tell you, that's why I think it was wonderful this time when the Israelis sort of pulled a trick on them, said they were going in on the ground, forced these people to come up to defend, and then they got them because the Israelis hadn't gone in. So the Air Force was able to go in there and to destroy those targets.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jerry, Darrell, Facebook, why are we helping to rebuild Gaza in the first place when they just attacked Israel again? And you see, the Secretary of State, he's committed to it.
Oh, yeah, no, the policy...
They want to rebuild what was just taken out by Israel.
It's the policy. The policy is they attack Israel. Israel responds. It destroys buildings. Buildings are then sometimes rebuilt with U.S. taxpayer dollars or trusted third-party groups like the UN. The money ends up really going to, and the Israelis are asking this, how are we going to make sure the money doesn't go to Hamas terrorists?
You can't depend on the United States to help you in that regard.
Well, that's a pretty sad state of affairs.
That is a pretty sad state of affairs, but it's the truth, Jay. Don't look to the United States to help you see that the money doesn't go to the United Nations to build the tunnels. It's not going to happen.
Harry, we got less than a minute here before the break, and we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We want to know, do you support the United States standing with Israel, not standing with Hamas? I want to hear what you have to say. Quickly, why are they doing this?
Well, fundamentally, it's because the United States State Department is filled with individuals who are very smart, but they are also very unintelligent. They really do not know what they are doing in the Middle East. Just witness the recent comment about relying on trusted third parties in the Middle East. There aren't any trusted third parties in the Middle East, and so it is naive beyond question to continue to offer that sop to the American people.
He just made that up.
Yes.
They're not quasi. They're not the quasi-government actors. So he's saying it's not the UN. It's not which you wouldn't trust. Who is it? It's pro-Palestinian organizations on the ground in Gaza who are pro-Hamas, or else they wouldn't be able to operate in the Gaza Strip. How are you? You're not operating there. They don't want you there. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Secular, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, we were talking about during this break, it's not just what's going on in the Middle East, but the anti-Jewish sentiment in the United States and within the academy, and not just anti-Israel, but anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, is unreal. Now, you just mentioned, Andy, a new case.
Yeah, we had a matter that arose at Emory University, where I went to school, in which there were a group of pro-Palestinians who have made threatening and outrageous remarks against Jewish students and against Jews generally, and anti-Semitic in nature. Our special counsel, Mark Goldfeder, contacted us, and we wrote a letter, and we have sent it off to these people, trying to give them the true facts about what is happening in the Middle East and urging them not to swallow the statements and the lies that are made by the Palestinians and Hamas and Hezbollah as a whole. But this is what's pervading the academy, which generally is leftist and liberal and is not interested in hearing the truth. But we're going to force them to hear it because we're going to respond.
Skip, we're going to take calls in a minute, but I want to go to Skip because we deal with the academy and you teach. I've taught. But there is this anti-Israel sentiment within the academy now. That's for real.
Absolutely. And what they're using it for right now is for tenure purposes. You have to toe the line, strictly toe the line that people want, which is pro-BDS, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, or you do not get tenure. And tenure is the lifeline of an academic university. So the universities have sort of abandoned the traditional thing where there's a free exchange of ideas where we teach people how to think, not what to think. And it is now into the point where it's more in the what to think, to include even allowing faculty to be limited to those who just toe the party line.
Let's go back to the phones. Joyce in Florida, line 3. Hey, Joyce.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
God bless you all for what you do.
Thanks.
But I just heard Jay ask if we would call and say whether or not we stood with Israel or, you know, or against what America's doing. I'm 76 years old. I've been voting since I was 21 years old. And I love Israel with all of my heart. A great, big, huge, monstrous, yes, I stand with Israel. I attend a Messianic congregation in Ormond Beach, Florida, and we stand for Israel, and we stand for ACLJ. And God bless you for what you're doing. We thank you.
Joyce, we appreciate that, and it means a lot. And as I said, there's a petition up supporting Israel with over almost 125,000 signatures. We will share that with members of Congress. That's how you do this. And we got to see if we can get some Democrats. We got to try at least, Jordan, to get some Democrats. At least try.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got to, again, this idea that we're going to make this a partisan issue is very dangerous for Israel. It shouldn't be an issue that we have to debate inside the United States. It should be one we take to the world as a country. And that's where it was in the past. Now it is seen as an issue that is partisan in nature. I mean, there's talk about how well Black Lives Matter helped change this debate. Why would an effort based off what's happened in the United States, like that group or not, and they have a lot of the leftist political leanings,
yeah,
and they are all joining the far left. So it's part of, like Skip was just talking about, it's now part of the far left cause, but the far left cause has become kind of mainstream inside the Democrat Party over the last couple of years.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think Jordan is precisely correct. But the far-left crowd has always been anti-Semitic. So if you go back to Karl Marx, if you go back to Wilhelm Reich, if you go back to a raft of leading intellects that have shaped the current culture, including the Black Lives Matter movement, they have been consistently opposed to Jews and the advancement of Jews, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. So I'm not surprised. Sadly, it continues. Certainly, if you say the names, Amy Wax, Eugene Kantorovich, these are two leading Jewish scholars that have had difficulty speaking at American universities. And even more sad, at least from my perspective, is that you will find some Jewish students opposing pro-Israeli speakers on campus.
I know. It is a real issue.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Tanya in Texas on line 1. Hey, Tanya.
Hello. Yes, I stand with Israel, always have, and always will. What I don't understand is how this Biden administration can just literally just turn their backs on them, and they're our number one ally.
Yeah, so you asked the question, why is he doing this, basically? And that, I think, is the question, Jordan. And Andy, I'm going to go to Jordan and Andy.
To protect the legacy of Obama, to bring back the nuclear deal, you have to ignore reality, and you have to ignore that the violence in the streets. So we're accepting this idea that the AOCs of the world, who are not being condemned by, in fact, when Rashida Tlaib, who was saying that Biden was allowing too much Israeli aggression, went to Detroit with him, he praised her from the stage. So she's a fighter. She fights for her causes. She believes that these are the people who have spurred the attacks in America by Americans on American Jews. And it's Joe Biden is responsible. He may be old. He may sound feeble, but he was praising her, he's made the decision that this is not important. This vote does not matter to them. It's not a big enough vote. And politically, they're gonna throw themselves, like Chuck Schumer and others, they're gonna go in with the far left or at least be silent.
Well, he is old and he is feeble and he is, one thing he's got. He may forget everything, but he doesn't forget the grudge against Donald Trump. And that's the thing. Don't kid yourselves, folks. This is a hatred of Donald Trump and the success that Donald Trump had in the Middle East. The Abraham Accords are shunted off to the side. The success with the Gulf States is shunted off to the side. The fact that we didn't have these missile firings from Gaza into Israel is not talked about. Anything and everything that Donald Trump did is wrong in the minds of these Democrats led by Biden, led by his Secretary of State. That's their agenda, is to make the former president and cancel him out like he never existed.
Yeah. Back to the phones we go. Adela in Tennessee on line 5. Hey, Adela, welcome to Seculo.
Hey, thank you. I have to echo what was just said by your panelist in that these people aren't unthinking. They aren't stupid. They're cunning.
Yep.
This is a plan that they've had in place for years, if not decades. It was set in play when Obama allowed the Muslim Brotherhood to be part of his circle, as well as CAIR, C-A-I-R. Those people are embedded. So this is something that they have planned, and they do want to uplift everything that the Trump
I think it actually goes back to Jimmy Carter, who had this naive view of how you could bring peace, which was a disaster, which never, of course, happened. And then you had the Biden attempt, the Obama attempt, which was to completely undercut Israel. Now, there's been all these allegations about the infiltration of the Muslim Brotherhood into various administrations. Putting all of that aside, I can't prove that. What I can prove is this. There was a determined plan to undercut Israel. That is clear. And that policy seems to be being promoted again to save the legacy.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so again, I think as we close out today, we're seeing it in our own country. Horrendous acts of violence. We're seeing the Hamas and come out and say, "Yeah, Iran, thank you so much. You're the reason why we're able to launch these rockets at Israel." And you have Iran saying that the U.S. is ready to lift all the sanctions, on Iran. I mean, there's a lot to unpack continuing through this. But politically speaking, I think we've got to take action too in Washington D.C. and we need to see more people speaking out, and I think pressure more Democrats who in the past have been supportive of Israel. And you may have to pressure and shame them into doing it, but I think this is the time to do it. We'll talk to you next time on the broadcast.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.